And speaking of animals, if you look across the world at the birds and the bees and the flowers and the trees, almost all of it is geared towards that golden goal, sex. And if you think human dating is complicated, look at the animal kingdom. Just as animals have evolved many ways of moving and finding food, there's also a huge amount of variation in the way animals mate. To take us on an erotic journey through the animal kingdom, we're joined by zoologist Max Gray. Hi, Max.
Hello.
Surely it can't be that complicated. You know, boy meets girl, girl meets boy, they make smaller versions of themselves.
Well, it can and it is that complicated. And this is because mating is the single most important thing that any animal is ever going to do, because it's all about passing on your genes to the next generation, making more of your species, which is what life is all about. So animals need to be very good at it. And so there's a huge amount of pressure, evolutionary pressure, selection, if you will, towards how mating systems work. And there's a huge variety in any number of different species that you can think of.
So are there any general rules of thumb?
Yeah, there are a few. The main one is that the mating cost is different for males and females. And for females, it's more expensive. This ultimately comes from the fact that an egg is much bigger than a sperm. And when you get into more complicated breeding systems, you know, birds laying eggs, an egg costs physically and energetically costs more than creating sperm. And if you think about mammalian pregnancy, the whole process of pregnancy is far more energetically demanding than simply creating and ejaculating some sperm.
So it sounds like being female is a bit of a short straw in many ways.
It can be in some cases, but in other cases, it's definitely better to be female than it is to be male. Favorite example for Valentine's Day, since St. Valentine was the patron saint of beekeeping as well as love, is in honeybees. The queen bee goes out on her mating flight and mates with a number of males. And then once she's done, she goes back and breeds and forms a colony. But all of the males, after they breed with her, as part of the mating process, when they leave, when they disentangle themselves from the queen, their phallus is ripped from them and then they die slowly afterwards. So it's definitely better to be a female bee.
Ouch.
Another good example is the Australian redback spider, where you have, again, the male and female start mating, everything's going all right. But then the male will do a somersault almost, will flip himself over the female into the female's mouth. She'll, you know, think this is delicious and start having a nice snack. We'll eat the male's body, but what's left behind is that his genitalia is left behind and will continue doing its business on its own, so to speak. And by sacrificing himself in this manner, the male is more likely to successfully father some offspring.
That is some serious dedication. It sounds like a bit of a free-for-all.
In some senses, it is. I mean, broadly speaking, there are a huge number of examples in any different number of cases that you can imagine. But in any specific species, or indeed in a family of species, mating tends to work in roughly the same way. So you can categorize these types of mating systems. A very common one in many species is called polygyny. And so this is where one male will have sexual interactions with many females, will kind of, the dominant male, who is the highest quality male, will attract numerous females that he kind of will monopolize in a harem. So this is what happens with a pride of lions and with many other species as well. But even that's not that simple, because there are some species where this happens, at least on the face of it. An example of this is cuttlefish. So you have one dominant male cuttlefish that monopolizes all of his lady cuttlefish, but the less dominant males, of whom there are many, will kind of think, but, you know, they still want to breed. They will still attempt to breed. And if they come in as males and they get chased off by the dominant male, and that doesn't work. So what some of them do is, because they're a little bit smaller and because they're cuttlefish and they can change their color, they will pretend to be female. They'll adopt the coloration of females and sneak in, so they get to be close to all the other females because they look like one and the male won't notice. And then while he's looking the other way, they will sneakily mate and get away with it that way.
On the subject of mating systems, what about monogamy? You often hear about, for example, swans mating for life.
You do, yeah. It's quite commonly said that a lot of birds mate for life. Another example is penguins. In penguins, it's not actually as simple as that. And what seems to be monogamous, broadly speaking, is, but only for one season at a time. You get this thing called seasonal monogamy, where penguins will mate dedicatedly with one individual until that chick is reared and an adult in its own right. And then I think the statistic is something like only 15% of partners then reunite the following year in that specific pair. Swans are another example, as you mentioned, that is often claimed to be monogamous. And they do tend to stay together for more than 1 year at a time, you know, so-called life mating. But even then, it's not really truly monogamous, because if you do some genetic testing on all of the eggs or the chicks after they hatch, you find that there's still quite a high percentage of those chicks that are fathered by males that are other than the one that their mother was paired with. And this seems to happen in almost any species that people have done the analysis of that people claim is monogamous.
Thank you very much. That was zoologist Max Gray. So if you resent buying your loved one a gift for Valentine's Day, just remember, at least you're not getting eaten.